Previously on Talk to Dad.
I mean, at least now I can say that I've been to a party and the cops arrived.
Or what if, like, you open it and there's, like, a dead body in there? It's kind of cool, but it's kind of like, it's cool, but check back when it's actually, like, really cool. Did the landlord know his cat could talk?
Well, it's a metaphorical cat, Dad.
It's a metaphor for his conscience.
I thought the cat was real. I thought the cherry tree was a metaphor. Elizabeth called the cops on us.
Ha.
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 The
end. Chex Mix Snack Mix Maxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chex Mix Snack Mix Maxed. Yep. So I messed that up.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 215. I've got Allison and Elizabeth here with us.
Hey.
Hey.
That was quite the previously on. Why? I don't remember calling the cops on anyone.
It was when you were two.
No.
One.
No. She was about one. Like 8 or 9 months old. She was one. Yeah, she was little.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. We used to sometimes give you the phone and just let you play with it because it would keep you so happy.
But it still does.
It was such a bad thing. Yeah. It was such a bad thing to do.
But the cops showed up at our... You've heard that story before, right?
Yes,
we told it on the last podcast.
Called 911 and hung up.
The Durham City Police showed up at our door and were concerned because a 911 call had come. We were actually discussing a news story where a little girl in... Where was it? Oklahoma? Someplace.
Louisiana, maybe. Somewhere.
Louisiana had called the cops because she needed help pulling up her pants.
She was two.
Yeah, she called 911.
She just needed help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty common for little kids because they hear at school, like, if there's an emergency, call 911, but they kind of think that everything is an emergency.
Yeah. Was it a police woman? Am I remembering the story
correctly? Yes, it was. And apparently she was very nice.
Yes. I think she not only helped her pull up her pants or put on her pants, but she also tied her shoes for her.
Yes.
Oh, that's very nice of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's serving her community.
She's protecting she and is. Serving, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it going, Elizabeth?
Pretty okay.
It's been a while since you've been on the podcast.
It has. Yeah. I've been doing not very much.
Yeah, unfortunately, due to the whole situation, I don't know if our podcast listeners are up on the news, but there's a situation going on.
Yeah, the guy from Jersey Shore has come back, and he's really making a problem.
Who, the situation?
The situation.
No way.
Yeah, he's back.
Is he the situation, or his abs the situation?
No, I don't really know. He called himself the situation.
But he always was like indicating
his situation.
Yeah, he always took his shirt off, I think.
I never watched it, so I don't know.
I also never watched it, but Mad, the TV show that was on while
TV?
Jersey Shore. Yeah, Mad TV. Did a bunch of Jersey Shore parodies. And so that's what I gleaned from the Jersey Shore parody.
There's also a pandemic and a weird economic situation and all that. And due to that, you have not been able to secure employment.
I kind of have, but
not at the level you would like to.
No. But I am back and substituting different places. It's hard to find good substitute positions right now because most of the high schools are online, so they don't really need substitutes.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly want to substitute at elementary school where most of them are back at limited capacity. But because elementary schoolers are so, like, kind of clueless and nasty. I love kids, but they are clueless and nasty.
They're a little gross.
They're a little gross. Yeah. Like, I would get sick when I subbed to elementary schoolers, like, before
the
pandemic. Plague times. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it on the podcast, but do you want to talk about your COVID scare?
Yes.
The bad thing about the pandemic is anytime you get up and you feel just not good, you're like, oh no.
Oh no, I'm dying. Is this it? Yeah, and I'm already a little bit kind of a hypochondriac where, like, if I get a headache for too long, it's like, oh, I have brain cancer. I have 2 weeks to live.
Probably dying.
Yeah, there was like
it's like when you Google symptoms and you're like, it could be, and there's a big long list of things it could be, and the last one's always, or it could be cancer and you're dying.
Yeah.
No matter, like a headache, you know, sweaty palms. An itchy
spot. I had an itchy spot on my foot. Probably leukemia, according to Google, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TLDR, I felt really crappy for like a solid day, and I thought it might be. I didn't really have a fever, but I was like sweating a lot. I had like really weird, vivid dreams, which some people have said is like a symptom of COVID. I don't really know. Anecdotally, like one or two people have said, oh, yeah, that happened to me.
I think it's really common for people to go through this, like, because, you know, it's lots of people have this disease and you start feeling off, you start feeling like you're getting sick and you think, well, is this it?
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, it's, here are the most common symptoms and it could be like one or more of these symptoms. So,
you know, what's worst for that is heart attack.
Oh my goodness.
All of these symptoms or none of these symptoms. Could mean like a heart attack.
If I'm leaning weird on my left arm and it starts to feel kind of tingly, I'm like, oh no, it's the big one.
Numbness and tingling in your left arm. Yeah.
And for women, like the symptoms are slightly different too.
Yeah.
But like even more common. So it's like, oh, slightly like burning in your chest, like feeling dizzy, feeling like out of it.
Nauseous.
Indigestion. When I used to have like panic attacks in high school, I was so afraid because everybody's always like, I had a panic attack, and for the first time, when I had a panic attack for the first time, I thought I was having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was freaked out that what if I have, like, a heart attack, but I just think it's a panic attack, so I don't say anything, and I die. Yeah.
I get a seasonal allergy. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast. Probably not, because we don't generally talk about our health problems, but I get a seasonal allergy, like, every summer, where my chest feels really tight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And when it first happened to me, I thought I actually went to the hospital. That was like when we were
on vacation.
You remember this, right? I went into a doctor's office and said, hey, you know, my chest just doesn't feel good. And of course, they just sent you to the hospital because they don't want to deal with you having a heart attack in their office. So
yeah.
I ended up going to the hospital and they ran an EKG on me and they were like, you seem fine. But it's just, and then I talked to my doctor and she put me like on a allergy drug. But she was like, yeah, it's probably just a congestion. Like an allergy triggered congestion, but it feels the same because it's like tightness in my chest.
You can't say for certain that it feels the same as a heart attack.
Well
no,
it feels like tightness in the chest, which is one of the symptoms.
Oh, okay, yes.
No, it doesn't feel like a heart attack. Like I don't like what I've heard is a heart attack. If you're actually having like a massive heart attack, it feels like a truck parked itself on your chest. It's not that like that intense pain or anything, but it was just like the early stages. You get that. Angina, I think it's called.
Yeah.
The tightness in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
How are you, Allison?
I'm good. I'm not worried about heart attacks or COVID right now.
That's very
good. I'm having no symptoms.
One thing that is interesting is apparently a lot less people are getting the flu this year because people are wearing masks and like isolating. And
well, I mean, it's not flu season yet though.
Yeah. But even like up until this point in the year, they're like,
oh yeah,
fewer flu cases than normal.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
But when flu season does start up, people are going to think, oh no. Right. I mean, it's going to be confusing to a lot of people.
Well, and I think about like, oh gosh, like as far as school goes, I mean, up until last year, we've had some years where if we didn't send the kids to school every time they had a little bit of a cough or congestion or like headache, like there was such a long list of symptoms that you're supposed to screen your kids for before sending them to school that like on a normal year, they wouldn't have been going to school more than like half the time between allergy season and cold season. And, you know, I don't send them to school with like anything major, like if they're vomiting or have like
a fever, or
a
something.
Fever, right. But I mean, you can cough for months, especially if you have allergies and a cold, you know, and then you get a cold or then it could be months until you're cough free here. But I don't know what's going to happen here in a few weeks when cold season hits, but
yeah, I know Elizabeth mentioned like the really vivid dreams. I've been having like really strange dreams lately. Like, and I think it's because the boys are waking up earlier to go to school. And they go to seminary. We talked about that. They go to like this Bible study, scripture study before school. And because, so they'll wake up and Henry always wants to use our bathroom because we have really good water pressure in our shower. So he always kind of comes through our room to get in the shower and it sort of wakes me up. And I think when you're sleeping really soundly and then something wakes you up just a little bit and then you drift back to sleep, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to remember your dreams.
Yeah, yeah. It actually, that's a technique. I'll go through this thing where like a phase where like I really want a lucid dream for a while. And that's apparently something that people who get really into lucid dreaming will do, although they'll like set a timer for like in the middle of the night and then wake up and then go back to sleep. And that kind of, it fast tracks you into REM sleep, I guess.
Oh yeah.
And so, but you're like the part of your brain that's like still sort of awake is still kind of going, so you can remember it a lot more vividly and kind of control it.
Yeah. A couple of dreams I've had this week that I remember. One was that I was like with a group of people. It's weird because my dreams never take place during the pandemic. Hmm. I think it's because I'm trying to get away from it all. Like my dreams, it's like everyone's doing the sort of things they were doing before. But like I was with a group of people and we were at Disneyland. And then like a smaller group broke off and it was like me and Phoebe Bridgers and some other like semi-famous young man that I don't remember his name.
Was it Timothée Chalamet?
It could have been. Could have been Timothée Chalamet.
When you told me about the dream, I would have remembered Timothée Chalamet.
Well, I don't remember who it was. That's
is
the thing.
Is it Ansel, okay. Ansel Elgort?
I remember waking up and remembering who it was, and then like an hour later, it's totally blank to me. You know how you forget parts of your dreams?
But Harry told me about this, though.
But what I do remember is like the three of us like sneaked Disney. It was late in the day, and a lot of the rides had started to shut down. And we sneaked off and we sneaked into this one ride that was like a snowboarding hill. And we went to the top of the hill and we each had these snowboards. And like Phoebe Bridger like snowboarded to the bottom of the hill. And me and this other guy, the semi-famous guy, like rode ours like sleds. And it was really fun.
That sounds like a nice
dream. That's what
I
remember of the dream. And then the next day I had a dream that I had a court hearing. And I went to the court hearing and the court for some reason was like, it was a courtroom, but the courtroom itself was like in the middle of a Target.
That makes sense.
A Target store. And I went in and there was a pretty good crowd in the courtroom. And this judge comes out to like run his court. And every time he said something like there was this, the crowd would like cheer and laugh and like hoot
like
and holler.
It's like a sitcom.
They were like really, yeah, they were like, it was like a really enthusiastic talk show audience. Like they were really excited about this judge.
And was the judge wearing a Target, like a red shirt and khakis?
No, he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Of course.
I don't know why he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I remember like I wasn't dressed like I would normally dress at court. Like I wasn't wearing a business suit. I was just wearing like kind of casual clothes. But I was like, yeah, but... And when I got in there and I saw the judge had a Hawaiian shirt, I was like, oh, good. Then he won't care that I'm dressed casually. And I remember it was for a scheduling hearing, which isn't like a huge deal in a lawsuit. But I didn't really know what I was doing because I was like, oh, I don't know. I haven't really prepared for this, but it's just a scheduling hearing. I don't need to worry about it. And that's all I remember of that dream. And I know I had another interesting dream the next day, but I forgot it all. But I've been like, I'm in this cycle where I'm having like really interesting dreams. And I'm like, I don't know how I come up with these. They're like way more interesting than they ought to be.
I've had more vivid dreams too, but most of them are stress dreams. There's the one I had the other day. I'm trying to remember. I told you about it at the time.
Yeah, you had a dream we went to a restaurant in Los Angeles and it was really, really busy.
It was super crowded and like...
And I could tell you were mad at me when you woke up.
I was so frustrated. So in my dream, we had gone to L.A., and I was so excited to get out of the house because this was still like my dream still took place during the pandemic. Anyway, we were able to go to LA and we were so excited and we were going to a restaurant, but it was like super crowded and like really, really large. And the waiter led your dad off, but like, because it was crowded, I got like,
sort of
pushed back. Yeah. And I couldn't find him, couldn't figure out like where the waitress went, couldn't like find the way. I kept like finding other waiters and waitresses, but like never ours. And I just wandered around for like 2 hours. And like, I actually saw, this lady that I know here. And I was like, oh, you're here. And she's like, yeah, I come here sometimes. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Have you seen my husband? Nope. But like, I asked so many like total strangers and like, a lot of them were like, why are you talking to me? And like, everybody was super rude. And I was just super frustrated. It was like 2 hours of looking. And like, I kept thinking, well, maybe he's looking for me. But no.
It was really inconsiderate of me.
Yeah.
But it never actually happened.
And like, by the time I finally found a waitress that would let me use her phone, because he had my phone in the dream too. Like, he walked off. He had my phone in his pocket. So I didn't have a pocket.
Maybe it was like a girl gone situation. Like
Gone,
I was gonna,
Gone Girl?
Gone Girl.
That's the one. Gone Girl. I was going to like make sure you got accused of like killing me or something. I was going to disappear and fake my own death.
No, you were just seated. You ate the whole meal on your own. And by the time you answered the phone call from this nice waiter's phone, you'd like already eaten all the food and were ready to leave. And I was super frustrated. Then I woke up and I was like, thanks. Thanks for that.
I could tell you were kind of mad at me.
I was so frustrated. I was like really upset.
I thought I was like straight up, I don't know what was going on for like a week solid, because I would wake up like literally like dripping with sweat. Like I ended up like putting down a towel in my bed because
getting
it was
night sweats.
Getting like night, like really bad night sweats and having the most bizarre, vivid dreams for like 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
And I joked that like maybe somebody cursed me.
Well, it is possible you had, you know, something else.
That's true. I might have had just like a weird.
But you didn't have something. Like a sore throat or shortness of breath.
Or like a fever or anything. Yeah. Just that. Like, and before I started feeling sick, it was just these like weird dreams and night sweats.
Mm-hmm.
And the dream that kicked it all off at the beginning was I dreamt that I went to Mexico with Bex and you guys. The whole family, like all of the siblings, too, Phoebe was here. And I dreamed that I saw this, like ghostly woman dressed all in black with 7 black goats around her, which is very specific, right?
That is very, that's like an like omen.
An apocalypse.
Yes.
You had a dream with an omen in it.
Yeah. And then after that, I couldn't stop like having vivid dreams. I couldnn't stop having vivid dreams and sweating all the time.
You were
and then
cursed.
It just, I was
you were
cursed.
Definitely cursed.
I was cursed. I must
Did
have like.
Did you say something mean to it, like an old
to
gypsy
a
woman?
Witch.
To a witch. I
no,
think. Yes.
I don't even. No. No, I don't talk to anybody these days. The most stuff that I did that week was like I got really into Super Mario World on the SNES that you got me for Christmas, and I like tried to beat it. But yeah, it just stopped, so I guess I'm not cursed anymore.
I'm glad.
Thanks. Good.
Yeah.
It was really affecting my sleep. It was.
I bet.
I guess I just remembered the other dream I had. It was like. It took place, like, part of it was in Italy. Like, the family was on vacation in Italy, and I remember suggesting that we go get some gelato and some biscotti because we were in Italy. And then we got on, like, a bus, and the bus was going, and then suddenly we were in Japan. Like, the bus went from Italy to Japan.
That sounds
which I
right.
I don't think is possible. But
It'd
then we
nice.
Were going to go visit, like, this mm-hmm. place, this, this like, scenic outdoors place in Japan. Huh. And that's all I really remember. A lot of times I have dreams that I'm like either at an amusement park or I'm traveling.
Huh,
and I think
I
it's
swear.
Because my mind is like, I would rather be somewhere else
Anywhere
than
else.
Where I am right now.
I feel like for a while there, like every time I would have like a nightmare or a stress dream, you'd be like, oh, I dreamed I was on vacation. And I would just be so bitter. Like, really?
When I was a kid, I used to dream about amusement parks constantly. I didn't used to go to amusement parks that often, but like.
You would dream about them.
Yeah. And the amusement parks were always like way more awesome than they are in real life. Mm-hmm. And I still have dreams about amusement parks and I don't really know why.
I never have dreams that I go anywhere cool. Like I have more dreams where I'm like in bland office buildings that I've never been to. Than I do. I don't think I've ever had a dream where I'm at an amusement park. And I think when I do, I dream that there's like killer clowns in it or something.
Like a nightmare dream?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think my two most common dreams are like stress dreams about driving. Because I dream that I'm driving and I'm too small to see over the steering wheel.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And you can't reach the pedals? Can you reach the pedals?
I can, but it takes a lot of effort for me to put my foot down. But it's never on the pedal. The gas is just going, and it just takes a lot of effort for me to put my foot on the brake. So it's just I'm trying to brake. And then the other common dream that I have is just that I'm very good at guitar. That's the end of the dream. I'm just shredding.
Really good at guitar.
Yeah, that's and then awesome. I wake up and I'm like, oh, guitar is hard, actually.
It's a little more difficult.
Yeah.
That. Have you had, like, the terrible restroom dream?
Yes.
The terrible public restroom dream?
Yes. Where there's, like, no
That's my
walls,
most frequent dream, I think.
And there's, like, water up to your knees.
Yes. Like, and they're all flooding.
There's like, weird old people in there.
Yes,
that
and
are
also
looking
like,
at you.
And
they're
also,
looking at you while you're trying to.
Yes,
like,
because there's no privacy. Yes. Like, all the doors are broken, or they're like, the doors are like, start like too high up to be useful as doors.
Yeah. Or yeah. They're too low, or yeah, you're always making eye contact with somebody. I dream that
awful.
About high school locker rooms. Like, I have to go to the bathroom, and the only one available is a high school locker room that smells terrible, and there's plumbing issues.
And there's lots of traffic going in and out.
Yes. Yes, there's, like, random teenagers in and out, and I'm like, can you maybe clear out, please?
I need some personal time here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like that might say, that might, like... I feel like if we took that to a therapist, that would say something very specific about our personality.
You know what? I had a friend that was like seeing a dream therapist. And I mentioned that to her because she was insisting that like certain elements in dreams always mean the same thing. And I was like, well, like, what about this dream? And she was like, oh, it's all about power. I'm like, no, it's because I'm paranoid about public restrooms.
She was seeing a dream therapist?
Yes.
In like, her dreams?
Like on purpose and like on a regular basis?
Like intentionally.
Yes.
I didn't know that there were dream therapists. Like you could just look up a dream therapist and go. I mean, is that like a sub branch of therapy?
Of therapy,
or?
Yes.
Technically, I think it would be psychoanalytic because Freud was very into dreams. And that's mostly what psychoanalysis is.
You could be a
is.
Jungian too, probably.
Probably.
Jungian
probably.
Was, I think Jung was into
dreams
as well.
Okay, just I know like... It's not really our brand to like take positions on things, but I feel strongly that my dreams do not mean, usually they don't mean anything. And if they do mean something, it's usually pretty obvious.
I feel like what it is, like, a lot of times it's just your brain, the synapses in your brain are firing and you're trying to make sense of it.
But also I think honestly, when I have dreams about like terrible restrooms and like restroom anxiety type dreams, they're about restroom anxiety. I think oftentimes, like, I have to use the bathroom, but I haven't, like, woken up yet, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I read somewhere that I think makes some sense is that sometimes in your dreams, what you're doing is you're, like, running through worst-case scenarios.
Yeah.
So that, like, when you actually are facing one in real life, you might have some contingency plans.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You're running through, like, scenarios about, what if I am in a horrible bathroom? Like, how am I going to cope with that?
And you know what? That's a scenario that I've encountered in real life many times.
Right.
So, you know, good thing my dreams are preparing me for these.
Usually public restrooms aren't that bad.
No, but sometimes they really are.
That's, unfortunately.
Occasionally they're really bad. Anyway, or there just isn't one.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing I wanted to talk about, but I'm not really sure if it's going to live up to this other discussion, is my latest obsession, Detroit-style pizza.
So yeah, we had some tonight.
Never made Detroit-style pizza before tonight. But for the last couple of weeks, I've been sort of researching because I kept hearing about it. And I wanted to know what makes Detroit-style pizza Detroit-style pizza. It's a pan pizza, but it's very unique because it's like... It's got this high hydration dough, which it's kind of like focaccia. Hmm. And then what you do is you lay the dough out and then you put... like a pepperoni on top of the dough. This is typically it's a pepperoni pizza. You put like hand cut pepperoni on top of the dough. And then you take this special kind of cheese called brick cheese. It's Wisconsin brick cheese, which I had never heard of before, but apparently to be an authentic Detroit style pizza, you have to have brick cheese and you cube it up. So instead of shredding it, you cube it and you put the little cubes, like half inch cubes on top of the pepperoni. And then you put another layer of pepperoni, and then you put the sauce on top of that. And it's got this special kind of sauce. Hmm. And then you cook it in a pan, and it comes out like a pan pizza. And we had it tonight.
And crispy. And
I liked it. It was good.
It was good.
It was very cheesy, very layered.
It was really filling. It fills
tasty.
You up like
very
really
filling.
Fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like normally I can eat several pieces of pizza. This one I was hungry, so I ate three pieces, but... And you know,
they weren't large pieces.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know,
three inch square. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 inches by 3 inches. And they were very filling. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I recommend it. check it out. Detroit style pizza. Apparently that's a really, it's really trendy in restaurants right now. Like a lot of restaurants are developing their own Detroit style pizza.
Anyway, I wonder why.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things from. Like different styles of pizza kind of come in and out of fashion.
Everybody like is paying. They're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. And it sort of gains popularity.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, New York style and Chicago style, everyone knows what that is. But then it's like, well, then you hear about Detroit style or St. Louis style or New Haven style, and people just want to try it.
There's a New Haven style?
There's a New Haven style pizza, yeah.
What's that?
You would have to ask. I don't really remember. I think it's a particular type
of
cheese.
Was it featured in the show Mystic Pizza with Julia Roberts?
Let's see. New Haven style pizza.
According to Wikipedia, New Haven-style pizza, locally known as a pizza, is a style of thin-crust, coal-fired Neapolitan pizza common in and around New Haven, Connecticut.
I thought New Haven was in New Jersey.
Originated at Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napolitano and is now served at many pizzas in the area. Looking at the characteristics, it is a plain pizza with a crust, oregano, tomato sauce, and a little bit of cheese, Romano cheese. And then there's a white clam pizza. I guess it's just like thin and oblong and has a chewy texture with just a little bit of cheese on it.
Oh, like a clam.
The clam one has like a white sauce and clams.
Oh. But I thought you were comparing the... It says, clams are also oblong and kind of chewy.
They say it tends to be drier and thinner, but closely related to a traditional New York style pizza.
Huh.
Which are both descendants of the original Neapolitan pizza from Naples, Italy. Anyway.
Well, keep us posted for more pizza trends.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested and invested in this.
I like pizza, and I also like having something to obsess over to like take my mind off things.
Yeah. That seems...
Yeah.
I mean, as obsessions go, I feel it's pretty healthy. I mean, you're feeding your family.
I suppose. It took me a few days to locate some brick cheese. I was a little worried I might have to, like, order it on the internet, which seems a little excessive.
Yeah, and, like, what if you get a counterfeit? What if you get counterfeit brick cheese?
I think this was authentic Wisconsin brick cheese.
Where did you find... Where is it sold?
Market Street has it. Yeah.
The Kroger
near us did not, even though they have a lot of different kinds of cheeses. They didn't have brick cheese.
Yeah, the Kroger near us is pretty good about cheeses, I think.
Yeah, but they didn't have brick cheese, but Market Street did, so.
Market Street seems like a, they seem like a reputable cheese vendor to me.
Yeah. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Yeah.
I have a story about avant-garde music, the avant-garde 20th century composer John Cage. He's one of his most famous works is a work called 4 minutes and 33 seconds that consists of the performer coming up to a piano, opening the music, and then just sitting there for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. And whatever happens in the background is the piece. If you look at the music, there's no notes.
Yeah. There's that's one interpretation of the piece.
Right.
The other interpretation being that can art be just like a blank canvas?
Right.
That like before you put any paint or anything on it.
So that was one of his famous works. He has another work that this news story is about called Organ/ASLSP, which stands for As Slow as Possible. And this is currently being performed at the St. Burchardi Church in Halberstadt. It consists of 8 pages of music meant to be played very slowly. And to play the entire piece will take 639 years. If all goes according to plan, the piece will be over in the year 2640.
I feel like that concept has been done. There used to be a song in elementary school that you would sing to annoy your bus driver so that they would throw you out the window. That's just called The Song That Never Ends. Are you familiar with this piece?
Yes. I believe so. I do think this is slightly different. It's currently being performed at an organ that changes chords every 6 years and 11 months, and they're just about to do a chord change. And every time it does a chord change, it draws a crowd that can be there to witness the chord change.
So nobody else can use that organ, though, for 600 and however many years.
Who's playing this? Is it, like, automatic?
It must be, because otherwise...
That must be... I mean, having a church that has an organ that literally nobody else can touch forever, though...
Yeah.
Seems a little bit like...
Well, is it a church, or is it, like...
It is a church. It's the St. Fraternity Church in Halberstadt.
Did they know what they were getting up into when they signed up?
I suppose they did. I mean,
quite a commitment.
Yeah. But it, you know, people are talking about it, and it's famous, and it draws visitors. They say normally it draws thousands of people to witness the chord change, but this year, because of the pandemic, they had to limit the size of the audience to just hundreds of people.
It's wild that people... How many times has it changed chords?
Once every 6 years and 33 seconds. I don't know. It's been going since the night... when did they start? There's only a few details in this article, unfortunately. It doesn't say when they started performing it, but it says it'll be done. I could probably do the math. It takes 639 years to do it, and it'll be done in 2640, so it must have started in 2001. So it's been going about 19 years. That means it's changed chords, what, every 7 years? So it's done it twice, and it's about to do it the third time, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
It seems like kind of a... I would forget that that is going on. Like, I would be like... I wouldn't set my calendar ahead...
Six and then you years would miss it. The future.
You'd be like, dang, I missed it. I guess I'm going to have to wait for the next one.
I mean, I guess I could say the same about things like eclipses, but that's more like it's sort of in your face. And
well,
it's
I imagine
on.
There's like local news stories and alerts leading up to it.
You know? That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
It would make me want to just fast forward the piece, you know, which
where is
John Cage
located?
Would not approve of.
No, probably not.
Oh, who cares?
But it does make me wonder, like, if you played it at a reasonable rate, like...
Where is...
What did it sound like?
That sounds either Dutch or German, right?
It does.
I'm going to look it up.
I mean, I know how a person sounds Dutch or German. How does an organ sound like that?
The name of the church.
It is a town in Germany.
Oh. Yeah. What town?
Halberstadt? Yeah. Okay. Is a town in Germany in the state of Saxon-Anhalt.
Okay.
In the Harzdix... district.
Okay.
In the Harz mountain range. It's known for its old town center that was severely damaged during World War II.
Oh. What's the name of the town again?
Halberstadt.
Halberstadt.
Halberstadt. It looks like a really pretty town.
Yes,
maybe
it
we'll
does.
Go there someday
I just
when
Googled
the pandemic
it.
Is over.
Maybe we'll get there in time for the next chord change.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or we can just hear... the same chord played continually.
It looks very charming, like everything you would expect a little German town to look like.
Oh, yes. It's very pretty.
Yeah. Anyone want to share their story?
Mom, do you want to go first?
Sure. I got to get it there. David Blaine. Illusionist and daredevil, David Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
Just flew over the Arizona desert. About 25,000 feet in the air.
By himself? Just
levitating? No, holding on to balloons. about 50 balloons. The really large, like, jumbo balloons.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yes. Because that was my first question. Well, how many balloons? And I had to look for it.
Did he have a harness?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, he did.
He wasn't just holding.
He wasn't just
with
holding
his arm.
With.
Yeah, because your arm would get tired.
Your,
like, letty.
Your fingers would
like
get,
Kermit
like,
the Frog
cramped.
In the... Muppet movie. Didn't he do that?
I feel like he did.
Okay. Let's say he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or
he had a harness,
Curious George. Though. He did it for sure. I know he did.
Yes, he for
did.
Sure did it.
He did. All right. Illusionist and daredevil David Blaine took hold of about 50 balloons and went for an hour's flight over the Arizona desert. Blaine, 47, live streamed a video on his official YouTube account chronicling the unusual stunt, which he dubbed Ascension. Every single stunt that I've done is about endurance and pushing past what I thought would be possible, Blaine said before the performance. I can't imagine that many people would dream of doing it. He lifted off Wednesday morning with an aim of making it to an altitude of 18,000 feet, but ended up reaching 24,900 feet, almost 5 miles into the air before parachuting back to solid ground. The performer said after safely landing that the stunt was awesome. Elizabeth, so that video's up.
How do you feel about David Blaine?
I don't have any feelings about him.
Mr. Blaine, if you are listening, I apologize for this, but I find him deeply creepy.
I mean, he's most a magician, so yeah. Like by definition.
And,
yeah.
And you know what, though? I don't find, like, say, David Copperfield creepy necessarily same way. But David Blaine is, like, really creepy. It's almost part of his persona. But he's got these illusions that are like he's just, you know, doing illusions and magic tricks. And he's very upfront about that. But then he's got these other things that are just stunts. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how much like trickery is involved, but some of it is just endurance.
Yeah.
And they're really bizarre and they make me really uncomfortable.
Is that like the people who like hang from hooks? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. That's
deeply disturbing. I feel like magic and like stuff that's just sort of physically extreme kind of overlaps a lot. It's sort of the showmanship.
Well, especially
aspect.
With David Blaine. I mean, he's definitely got his, it's like a big part of his shtick is these endurance stunts.
Right. So I have here a list of the Abracadabra. I guess it's like an online
music
magazine.
Magic.
Yeah,
blog or something.
Yeah. Their list of the craziest endurance stunts performed by David Blaine, if you're interested. The first one, Buried Alive. The first extreme stunt performed by David Blaine dates from April 1999, when he spent 7 days in an underground plastic box located under a 3-ton water-filled tank.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that.
People could walk over and like look at him. And he was
just
there.
He was just like there in a
just
tank.
Just chilling. He's just like, hey.
Yeah, for 7 days.
Yeah, for a week. So he did get 2 or 3 water spoons a day. And there was an emergency crew standing by in case anything went wrong. But like.
Can I see like a picture? Let me look up a picture of the guy. Look into his eyes and see if I find him creepy.
It's more like what he's doing that's creeping. Creepy. So there's that one. Next, Frozen in Time. The next crazy endurance stunt was performed in November 2000 when Blaine spent 2 days in a large block of ice located in Times Square, New York City. A tube supplied him with water and air, and a tube took his urine out. After 63 hours, 42 minutes, and 15 seconds, he was removed with chainsaws and taken to the hospital immediately to prevent him from going into shock.
2 days in a block of ice in
Times
Square.
It took Blaine a month to recover after this stunt.
Was there like a bubble inside the block of ice or like
there must
he
have been.
An air tube? He had an air tube coming in.
Yeah.
I don't like any part
right?
of this.
No,
right?
No. Okay. Next, Vertigo. In 2002, Blaine spent 35 hours on a high pillar, just 22 inches wide in Bryant Park, New York City. He was not harnessed to the pillar, but had 2 retractable handles to grasp in case of powerful winds.
They're just standing on the top of a pillar.
Yeah. There's a picture of it here.
Oh, I don't want to see it.
I don't
it.
Like it, yeah. It's just him on
so
top
this,
of a really tall...
Like, his whole thing is just, let me reenact everybody's, like, personal nightmares real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things that might kill me.
I mean, he's also a brilliant illusionist. He's a really good magician, but he does these things that... they just seem horrible. Like
David, you don't... If you're listening, you don't have to, like, do that.
No.
You can stop now.
I'm pretty sure you've made a lot of money. You can just, like, retire if you want. You don't have to keep doing this.
Next stunt. Above the Below. An extraordinary stunt followed in September 2003 when Blaine was sealed in a transparent plexiglass case suspended 30 feet in the air next to London's River Thames. A webcam was installed inside the box during the 44-day-long stunt, and throughout the time, Blaine did not eat and drank 4.5 liters of water per day.
So he was suspended in a glass box and didn't eat for 44 days.
30 feet in the air over the Thames. Spectators threw food towards the box and sometimes tried to tempt Blaine with a hamburger flown up by a remote-controlled helicopter.
Well, that's just mean.
Yeah,
so he's just like sitting there starving. A man tried to cut the cable that supplied Blaine with water and was arrested.
Ugh. Why?
On October 19th, Blaine ended the stunt and emerged saying, "I love you all." The magician lost 54 pounds, or 25% of his body weight, and the most difficult part of the stunt was
refeeding him. And he's a skinny guy anyway.
Him.
He's not like a...
Yeah.
He's not like a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is just like... I feel like this is abusive. Like,
yeah, you don't need to do this.
You can like, stop now.
People please, who are like, well, stop. If I don't do it, who will? Someone else, man.
Well, does anyone need to do
does
it?
Does anyone need know. To? No, probably
I
not.
I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive. But
he just seems like he likes
thing.
To suffer.
Yeah. And also, like, while everybody watches, there's something
kind of creepy about that, too.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing to me. Anyway. Okay, next, Drowned Alive. In 2006, Blaine performed a stunt called Drowned Alive, in which he spent 7 days submerged in a water-filled sphere containing isotonic saline. The stunt took place in front of the Lincoln Center, New York City, and when the performance ended, he was asked by researchers to be monitored in order to study the human body's reactions to prolonged submersion. Again, like
he was
partly this freaks me out because he's just like on display all this time. Like there's no,
that's a big part of it is like everyone gets to watch him do it.
Yeah. Next, Revolution. For his Revolution stunt, Blaine was shackled in a rotating gyroscope without food or water. Performer had intended to escape within 16 hours, but he managed to complete the stunt 52 hours later. Okay, so I mean, guess that one he's supposed to be trying to escape.
Would it be weirder or less weird if he was just doing it in the privacy of his own home and nobody was watching?
Less weird.
Yeah.
Less.
I mean, it would be more dangerous because nobody would be like on.
At least there's a performance aspect so you can sort of understand.
Yeah, you can
why
justify
it.
Okay. You know?
All right.
It's not just like
there's one thing
how this guy gets his
more recently
kick.
Than that list where on the Oprah show he held his breath for 17 minutes.
That's not smart.
And how he did it is he like breathed pure oxygen for like 26 minutes and then went without oxygen for 17 minutes.
And that
like
worked?
It could still cause brain
worked.
Damage.
Yeah.
I mean, this point, he's just begging for brain damage anyway.
Yeah. All of this stuff just seems
okay.
Like
next.
It could be very bad.
Yeah. Dive of Death.
Oh, no. Doesn't
Dive
sound like a
of
fun
Death.
Time.
No, for this stunt from 2008, Blaine planned to spend 60 hours hung upside down without a safety net. However, he came down once an hour for a medical check and to use the bathroom. So 60 hours upside down.
As you do.
Yeah, okay. Next, Dressed for Dinner. It was September 2009 when David Blaine traveled on a sailboat with menswear designer Adam Kimmel. He spent several days swimming close to 2 dozen great white sharks wearing a tuxedo. He was
Wait,
wearing a tuxedo.
Okay. That's what it sounded like.
It would be
like.
Better if the,
it would be better if the sharks were wearing tuxedos. Yeah, okay.
Shark
mm-hmm.
haters.
Cute, it would
be swimming
I'm
with sharks
it.
Wearing a tuxedo. Okay.
I'm
Next,
picturing it.
What is magic? In 2010, Blaine released a television special in which he caught a .22 caliber bullet fired from a rifle with just a small metal cup he held in his mouth. Don't do this at home, guys.
I was about to say, what is magic? That sounds fun. That sounds whimsical. Mm. That doesn't, no.
No. Mm-mm. Electrified is the next one. 1 million volts, always on.
That sounds pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
In
2012,
that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
As Blaine performed an endurance stunt for which he spent 72 hours on an electrified high pillar in New York City. Again, with the high pillars in New York City. The electric discharge around him was of 1 million volts or more continuously. He had to wear a special costume that prevented electrical current from traveling through the body, and he did not eat or sleep throughout the stunt. So 72 hours of that. The stunt was streamed live on YouTube, and at the end, Blaine walked away without assistance just to go to hospital for a medical check. Next, Beyond Magic. In a television special aired November 15th, 2016 on ABC, Blaine repeated the previous stunt, and this time he improved the first version by catching the bullet live on stage in front of an audience of 20,000 people while firing the gun himself. I start to wonder if he has kind of a death wish. Like,
oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah. These are all just very
like,
complicated
excuses.
How
many ways can I risk my life? Yeah.
I'm sure he has some sort of like deep philosophical answer to that. Like,
or it could just be like, because it's cool and fun to do because of all the brain damage that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. Later, it was revealed to the public David Blaine was actually hurt during this performance as the cup slipped and the bullet shattered the mouth guard and cut his throat.
Oh.
Okay. Well, David Blaine.
Yeah. Seems like kind of a sicko. Holding seems like a kind of sicko move.
Balloons seems like way better than most of those.
Though. Yeah, that's fun.
That's it. That's cute. And he was wearing a harness. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, that's
still
that's
dangerous.
Good.
And,
still
and,
dangerous.
You know, the heights thing, because he was up really, really high.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be dangerous also because the air would be so thin.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get
altitude
sickness.
Or black out or something. I don't know.
You'd
think I mean, even if he
did,
I mean, he's wearing a harness. That's fine, right?
But he's had to parachute down, though, because...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, so did he just cut the balloons loose at the end of the thing, or...?
I guess he unlatched himself and then
dropped and parachuted down.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was... That's my news story.
Well, Elizabeth, you have a really important news story.
I do. This news story... Hold on, let me pull it up.
This kind of went viral this week on Twitter.
It did. This young man, Andrew Christensen, he's a 27-year-old man living in Lincoln in Nebraska. And he came up during a Lincoln City Council meeting, and he had a very important speech to give.
I have audio of the speech. Do we want to hear a little bit of it, or do you want to just read it?
I was just going to read it, if that's okay.
Okay.
Oh, I was hoping for audio.
He says, we have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control, that our children are throwing around names and words without understanding their true meaning, treating things as though they're normal, Christensen said. He says, I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this whole sort of speech. If we want to play a clip from later on in the speech, maybe we can hear like a little audio.
All right. Let me see if I can cue it up a little bit.
Okay. I promise I won't take up too much of your time here.
Here he is.
My name is Andrew Christensen. I live at 1212 Twin Ridge Road. Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Excuse me. Come on.
He's very serious.
I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't.
Anyway, it goes on.
All right.
He also says, our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones.
True. Very true.
He suggests alternate names for these so-called boneless wings. He says, we can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders.
Oh, no.
We can call them saucy nugs.
No.
That's
or
okay.
we can
I don't
call
mind
them
saucy nugs, but not wet tenders.
No.
I think saucy nugs is worse.
Is no, it? I think
yeah,
saucy
nugs
is
kind of gross.
It's
too.
Still better than wet tenders.
Wet tenders.
I think buffalo style chicken tenders is, I mean, it's
he
descriptive.
Says,
everybody know what that is.
Or we can call them trash.
I got to wonder, it doesn't say in the article, but how does he feel about chicken fingers?
Probably. He's probably. Like, will froth of the mouth if you mention the thing to him.
Yeah, he probably couldn't talk about it because it'd get too emotional.
Probably. They're definitely not fingers.
Chickens don't
even
have fingers.
Exactly.
Well, that's their talons. They have talons.
True.
They have feet. That's their feet.
Well,
maybe their toes.
Chicken toes.
Because they have wings on their fingers.
I would like to
I mean, they
some
eat chicken feet.
They eat chicken feet in parts of Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just
and I think
chew on
in parts of Mexico as well.
I probably like
probably.
Yeah, all over the place. Anyway, but
yeah, he said this was 100% designed, like the it was supposed to be funny, the speech.
Oh, it was.
But he still stands by its core message. He says, don't call it something it's not, essentially. No.
Words matter.
Words matter. The way you speak matters. And I do kind of see where he's coming from, because like chicken tenders are white meat. And it tastes a lot different from chicken wings, which are dark meat.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders, are they white meat? I always thought they were from
they're breast.
They're not thigh meat.
They're breast.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's right. I guess that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true.
I didn't realize that was, because I always, whenever I order chicken wings, I'm like, yeah, just leave, just not boneless is fine. And I didn't realize that boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders. Why would you lie to me like that?
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute state of this country.
Yeah.
It's true.
It does seem like Americans are, they don't want to have anything to do with the bone. Like if you go to other countries, they think like the having it on the bone makes it more delicious.
I like having the bone there.
Like
it actually does.
In Middle Eastern countries or like in Asia or like in India, like they want
the bone on there.
The meat off the bone because they say it's tastier.
Yeah. I think it's a convenience thing here. Like we don't want to eat around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like eating around it. It's nice. It makes me feel like a mead swilling barbarian.
Yeah. Getting those juicy morsels off of the bone.
Yes.
Yeah. I have noticed too, like when you go to get like Korean fried chicken, which is becoming more and more popular, you can get the boneless or the bone in. And for some reason, I think the bone in is tastier.
Oh, always. Way better. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, let's play a game.
Isn't this fun?
Hopefully it'll be a fun game. I've got three different games we might play. I will let Elizabeth and Allison, I'll let you guys choose. The first game we could play is, I need my little list here. We could play the laughing game. Have you ever played the laughing game?
Mm-mm.
It's where you go around in a circle and you can say he, ha, or ho. And then like each person builds on it and you keep going until someone breaks and they start actually laughing and then they're out. So like I say he and mom says ha. And then you have to, she says he, ha. Then you have to say he, ha, he. Or hee ha ho, or whatever. He-ha-ho. You can mix it up however you want to.
Right,
that's the laughing game. We could do the list game, which is one I keep pitching, but no one ever wants to do it. It's where you come up with a list, something random, and then each of you writes down an answer, and we see who guessed correctly. So it's like, for example, it might be something like the 10 largest mammals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would write down like three answers and whoever gets the most answers. And if you get closer to the highest up on the list, you get more points.
Oh, it's like,
Family Feud.
Yes, exactly. I was about to say the guy with the mustache.
We just randomly come up with a list like and then we write down our answers, three different answers, and then...
Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah,
we can watch. Okay. But we can not watch. We can play that.
And then the other game is Think Fast, where we've played that a couple of times on the podcast, where it's just you select a category and keep going until someone messes up. Either you repeat one or can't think of something.
I'd be okay with either the list game or the Think Fast game.
Okay. Should we try the list game?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we need to come up with a category, and we'll come up with it by like collaboratively. Like I will say, we'll do the top 10, and then someone throw out like an adjective, and someone throw out a noun that would make sense with that adjective. So the top 10, anyone?
Loudest.
Noises.
Top 10 loudest. Is that something we'll be able to Google? Do you think there will be a list out there?
Probably
I don't
not.
Think so. Okay. Top 10 loudest animals.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So does everyone have something to write it down with, either on your phone or...
You can just open your notes app.
Yeah, you can just do it on your notes app. Okay. The top 10 loudest animals.
And we need to choose three?
Mm-hmm. Write down three.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to get any of them.
I feel pretty pretty confident, actually. I just can't think of a third one. Okay, I got my three.
Now, hopefully we can find a list of this. I'm going to Google it now. We can all Google it if we want to. 10 loudest animals in the world.
Oh.
Other people have done it. Oh, we got one from hiddenhearing.uk.
I got one from Australian Geographic.
All right. What is... Let's go around and do our answers first before we look at the actual list.
Okay.
My answers, I've got three answers. One is elephant.
I got that too.
One is howler monkey.
I got that one.
And I put macaw. I don't know why. I just thought, I figured some sort of bird. Some kind of bird. Yeah.
I put woodpecker.
It's pretty good.
Whale and howler monkey.
Okay.
I said bear, elephant, whale.
All right. We got some overlap with us.
I have a different one. Wait, are you on the Mysterious World one?
I'm at Hidden Hearing.
Oh,
this is
okay.
The top 10 loudest. That was my first Google result.
Mine was the first Google result, too. Mine has the decibel measuring.
Oh, that's better. Okay. Let's do your
mine
list.
Mine is just Australian Geographic here.
Going from...
Wait, so which one is it?
Top 10 loudest animals in the world. It's by The Mysterious World. It's a website.
Oh, here it is. I see. That was one of my... Here it is. All right.
Okay, so for context, level of typical human conversation is about 60 decibels, and anything over 120 decibels can cause pain or even damage your ears. So going from number 10, the hyena is at 112 decibels.
I didn't realize hyenas were so loud.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think so either. Yeah, hyenas, especially spotted hyenas, are very weird, interesting creatures. But yes, they can make a sound that's described as a laughing sound that can be up to 112 decibels.
Wow.
Number 9 is the hippo. Again, super weird animal and super deadly
that
animal.
That makes
they're
sense
very aggressive.
The hippos would be really loud.
Yeah. 110 to 114 decibels. So just edging out the hyena by 2 decibels. They're extremely aggressive, and they can also make... a sound both in the water and on the ground that's more like a grunt or a groan that's very, very loud.
Apparently they're the one of the most dangerous animals in Africa.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Like they kill a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. They're not even like carnivores, I don't think.
No, but they're very dangerous.
But they're very aggressive.
They're so huge.
They're like the water version of a moose, I feel like.
Yeah.
Moose are also very aggressive. All right, at 114 decibels, so just about the same, is the lion. They can roar at about 114 decibels.
That makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think of a lion, but that
I
makes
thought
sense.
Of it, but I thought, I mean, I've never heard a lion roar, and I've heard a bear, like, across a mountain.
I watched this
really?
Movie once.
Yeah.
It was from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Oh, that movie, yes.
Film where, company, like, and there was a roars. Lion at the beginning of it, and it roared. But,
see, I wouldn't think they're that bad, because... during the Lion King, during filming, they actually had to sub in some of Mufasa's roars with tiger roars because they sound more powerful. But
oh,
I guess
really?
They're just not as loud.
Huh.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard a lion roar at a zoo before, and it was pretty loud.
I've never heard one at a zoo.
I've heard a tiger roar at a zoo, and it was pretty loud. But tigers don't actually make this list.
They seem like they're always asleep when I visit the zoo.
I feel personally... disappointed in myself that I didn't guess number 7 because
I'm
I was
a little disappointed in you too, to be honest.
Because I used to be and still am a huge wolf nerd, and they can howl up to 115 decibels,
that's
so they're
impressive.
Very loud. Yeah, you can hear them for miles around.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, number 6 is the African elephant. So one of you guys got elephant, right?
I did.
Two of us did.
Two of us did.
So you guys did. You got number 6.
Okay.
On this list. They use different kinds of sounds to communicate with each other, and they can trumpet up to like 117. So pretty loud. Again, I feel like I should have gotten this one, but the cicada.
Cicada.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them this summer. Loud. I've noticed. Yeah. They're really
there's
loud.
A ton, and they're massively loud for such a little guy.
Yep. Yeah.
But they go up to 120 decibels.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And then the northern elephant seal, again, wouldn't have expected it. 126.
That makes sense, though, when you say it, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're pretty loud.
Oh, yeah. Male elephant seals, they're the ones with the weird floppy nose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they use their large proboscis to make loud noises.
And they, like, fight with each other, too. The males will fight
they're
with each
other. They're super aggressive, yeah. And then both of us got this one, the howler monkey, and it's number 3. And the howler monkey live in South and Central America, and they can screech at like 140 decibels. That was the last one that I was having a hard time coming up with, and I was like, it just sounds
loud. I feel especially proud that we didn't just say monkey, we said howler monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got it right on the nose.
You should be proud.
If you're going to say monkey, you're going to say howler monkey, I think.
Yeah, as far as, they have to be the loudest kind of monkey, right?
Because they're howling.
Yeah, because they're howling. Again, this one is impossible to guess, but the tiger pistol shrimp.
I've heard about this, the pistol shrimps.
Yeah, wow.
Really?
They actually stun their prey with this
sound?
Wavelength. Yeah, I was reading about this just a little while ago.
Huh.
There is a, there's a podcast called Pistol Shrimps Radio that is basically a couple of comedians that do the play-by-play of a women's amateur basketball team called the Pistol Shrimps.
Huh.
That, like, some of their spouses are in, I think.
That's
like,
hilarious. You know. Yeah, no, their air bubbles, they basically, like, have a sonar ray, and the air bubbles create a loud noise at a range of 200 decibels.
Yeah,
oof.
And that's how they stun their prey. They, like, go through, and they like, yell at them, and it stuns them, and they come and eat it.
Good work.
And then the number one is whales.
Oh, excellent.
Up to 230 decibels. Yeah, we both got that. And I guessed that because I had heard of divers being physically injured because they were like within a couple miles of a whale who had been using their sonar, and it physically like bruised them within miles.
So I guess we each got two.
We all got two.
But I got number one and number 3.
But Elizabeth won because she got the highest.
They were
on
higher
the
up. Okay.
So way to go.
Well,
Elizabeth.
Wait, what was number one and number 3?
The whale and the howler monkey.
And I got howler monkey and elephant.
Yeah, I got whale and elephant. So I think I came in second. No.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
We'd have to do some sort of weighted average.
Yeah. We would have to. Anyway, Elizabeth won that one.
Let's say you get 10 points for number one.
Mm-hmm. And 1 point for number 10.
And I got number 3 and number. Let's see. We can figure this out. It's not that hard.
Yeah, 10 starting at number 1, and then it decreases by 1 point.
So that would elephant make sense. Was what?
What number was elephant?
Elephant was 6.
Okay.
So I got 4 points for that.
So I got 16
and
points.
And I got 7 points for howler monkey.
Sorry, I got elephant was 6 points.
So I got 11 points.
And then I got 17.
Was elephant 6 points or 4 points?
It's 4 points because
four
it was number
points.
6 on
so
the list.
Okay, 11 okay. points.
I got 14 points.
I got 16 points.
Okay.
Or 17, right. Sorry.
So Elizabeth got first place.
Yes.
Allison got second place, and I got third place. I'm proud of us each for getting at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good work.
All right.
Us.
So I am also proud of us for playing the list game finally after I pitch it. This is the third time I've tried to get people to play this game with me.
I liked it because I like being right. And I know a lot of things about animals.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get the wolf, though. If you would have got the wolf, you would have 3
gosh.
On the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, woodpeckers are just...
They're annoying.
They're annoying and they're loud.
It's true.
It's true. Maybe true. I bet maybe on some of those other lists, woodpecker might have made it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there weren't any birds on the list, actually, because birds seem really loud.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
3 words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Mom and I went to my favorite Asian grocery store today, H Mart. Korean grocery store. There's 2 locations in the Dallas area, and they're both wonderful. And on sale at H Mart today was something called Yes Chips. They are Yes Chips in three different flavors.
Oh, actually, that's you're mispronouncing it. It's Yes Chips.
It is.
There's two exclamation points.
Just two. One after Yes, one after Chips.
And after the Chips.
Yes.
Yes. Chips.
They're by the Osung, snack food company, I guess. They are from Korea. We have roasted potato flavor. We have roasted corn flavor, and we have garlic shrimp flavor.
Oh, garlic shrimp sounds good.
I think we should start easy, though. Let's start with the roasted potato, because that seems like it would have the least amount of flavor.
I mean, isn't that basically what chips are?
Well, when they're potato chips, what are these made out of?
And these look like they're made out of differently, too. They look like they're almost shaped like fries,
the potato
maybe.
Ones are, oh, yeah, they are. They're shaped like French fries. Let's see. These are made of potato flour.
I like the shrimp has potato little starch, hearts potato flake. In its eyes. It's holding a bulb of garlic. It has hearts in its eyes. I guess it really loves
the garlic. Yeah,
they're in love. They're a happy couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then we're going to eat that shrimp, so I guess we win.
Hmm. Yeah, and his wife, the garlic.
Take a picture. Yes, chips.
You got to say it at least once.
All right.
So I just looked at the ingredients on these. They're not just different flavors. They're made up of, like, the chip base is made up of different things, too.
So it's not just three different flavors. It's like three different snacks.
The roasted corn crisps are made out of corn salt, palm oil, corn powder, and L-glutamate. The shrimp chips are like shrimp and starch and a bunch of other stuff.
The roasted potatoes say that they're 100% delicious.
They are. We'll I haven't tasted that. Them, but they are made up of potato flakes, potato bits and pieces.
And they look like French fries, kind of. They're French fry shaped. Yeah. Except they're hollow. They're like French fry straws.
Okay.
Oh, like those veggie straws.
Like veggie straws.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the Yes Chips roasted potato flavor?
Yeah, they're fine.
They're surprisingly not that good.
Meh. Meh.
I mean, they're not bad
they're
either.
Not
they're just kind
of
like
kind
not
of styrofoamy texture. Yeah,
they remind me of the consistency of corn pops, but like without the flavor.
Yeah, they're just like kind of
a little
bland.
Bit salty. They're not as crunchy as I expect them to be.
Yeah, they're not as crunchy, and they're not as they taste slightly underdone, strangely. Like, they're white instead of, like, golden colored, like you would expect a potato chip to be. I don't know. They were, like, okay.
Also surprisingly hard to open these packages. I'm happy to use my teeth.
Oh.
All right, let's try the roasted corn flavor. These look better to me, but we'll see.
Oh, it's a different, like, consistency. It's
yeah, the shape is different. Texture is different.
They're shaped like, I guess it's more chip-like.
What do you think?
Kind of a weird experience. They're not offensive. They really stick in your teeth. Corn-flavored, like sweet corn-flavored. I personally don't like them that much because I don't like things that are like flavored like corn but aren't corn.
I don't mind the flavor, but they're a little bland.
These are made out of corn. I feel like they're a little bit sweet, and I wish they were more salty. Also, the texture, these taste a lot like the roasted corn-flavored turtle chips that we tried a few weeks ago that were really pretty good, but the texture is not nearly as good. They're crunchy at first, but then they just get sticky and they stick in your teeth.
Yeah.
Instead of like a nice clean crunch.
I feel like it's an improvement over the roasted potato ones.
Yeah, because there's a little more flavor.
They're still not very good. These I'll call okay. Because I feel like I could eat like a couple handfuls, no problem.
I don't think I would, though.
I wouldn't.
Like, both of those.
You think they're meh?
Well, most of the time, like, if it's a good salty snack, I'll try one, and then I'll want to have one more just to make sure. Mm-hmm. And then I'll think, that was good. Maybe I'll have a third. This one, I had one and was like, yeah, that's plenty.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
They're just a little depressing.
It's a meh for me.
Yeah, it's a meh.
Meh. Meh.
Yeah, all right. Well, there's only one last one to try. This one is the garlic shrimp. These have three ingredients. No, they don't.
No.
They have three potential allergens. They have several ingredients.
I'm most optimistic about this one. Because I like shrimp and I like garlic.
It seems like shrimp garlic might have more flavor.
Maybe. Although, if they're sweet again instead of salty, I'm going to just cry.
How can you make garlic sweet, though?
Oh, I don't know. At this point, sweet I don't garlic. Trust them, though. Oh, these look like little scoops. Little, like, puffy scoops.
They're like shrimp
like
chips.
Yeah, like rice puffs. They're shrimp chips. Before. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They're quite garlicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The texture's way better. They're still a little bit strangely sweet to me and not salty enough.
Yeah.
All of not these quite. Are surprisingly disappointing. I really expected to like these. But they're not that great.
No. These, I mean, they're not
go
very...
Go with the turtle chips. If you can find turtle oh chips, they're way better.
They're so good.
In fact, I picked up a bag of turtle chips just because
the
I wanted
corn
them.
Flavor. We couldn't find any of the other flavors there, sadly.
Have you tried the turtle chips?
I don't think I have.
We're going to try them right after the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, if you might not like the flavor as much because it's roasted corn.
I probably won't.
The cinnamon flavor is like my ideal snack, though.
Yeah, but
it's
they didn't
so
are
have
they like
cinnamon
sweet?
Ones today.
Yeah, we couldn't find any today. They're really, yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah, mm. Cinnamon roll or churro or something. I can't remember.
They were good.
Yeah, so. I think this one's a meh for me, too.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I think I am, too. I mean, I could call it okay, but
the texture's better, and I feel like the garlic flavor is not bad. It just needs salt.
It up a little bit.
Less sugar. It tastes a little sweet.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just not quite done. Like, they need to add something else to it.
Yeah, it's unfinished. It's just sort of bland.
I feel like, you know, like sour cream and onion potato chips have, like, that onion flavor, but then they've also kind of got this kind of tangy, like, sour creamy flavor on there and the salt. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what's needed here. It needs something a little tangy in there, and it needs more salt.
Like, maybe if you were eating it alongside something, it would be okay, but... On its own, it's not a very impressive snack.
Yeah.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Elizabeth and Mom Allison, for being on the podcast with us today.
You're welcome.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 215. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And the second thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast, which helps us get the word out a little bit and maybe makes it easier for other people to find it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. It's time for-